Chapter 12.
When the Baudelaire orphans finally opened their eyes, they found that they had stumbled to the entrance of Madame Lulu's fortune-telling tent, with the initials VFD still staring out at them. Most of the carnival visitors had walked over to the lion pit to see the show, so the siblings were alone in the fading afternoon, and once again there was no one watching over them as they stood in front of the tent, trembling and crying quietly. The last time they had stood for so long at the tent's entrance, the decoration had seemed to change before their very eyes, until they saw it was not a painting of an eye, but the insignia of an organization that might help them. Now they stood and stared again, hoping that something would change before their very eyes, until they saw what it was that they could do. But nothing seemed to change, no matter how hard they looked. The carnival remained silent, and the afternoon continued to creep toward evening, and the insignia on the tent simply stared back at the weeping Baudelaires.
"I wonder where the fan belt is,"
Violet said finally. Her voice was faint and almost hoarse, but her tears had stopped at last.
"I wonder if it fell to the ground, or was thrown onto the tracks of the roller coaster, or if it ended up—"
"How can you think about a fan belt at a time like this?" Klaus asked, although his voice was not angry.
Like his sister, he was still trembling inside the shirt they shared, and felt very tired, as is often the case after a long cry.
"I don't want to think about anything else," Violet said. "I don't want to think about Madame Lulu and the lions, and I don't want to think about Count Olaf and the crowd, and I don't want to think about whether or not we did the right thing."
"Right," Sunny said gently.
"I agree," Klaus said. "We did the best we could."
"I'm not so sure," Violet replied. "I had the fan belt in my hand. It was all we needed to finish the invention and escape from this awful place."
"You couldn't finish the invention," Klaus said. "We were surrounded by a crowd of people who wanted to see someone thrown to the lions. It's not our fault that she fell in instead."
"And bald,"
Sunny added.
"But we made the crowd even more frantic," Violet said. "First we stalled the show, and then we used mob psychology to get them excited about throwing somebody into the pit."
"Count Olaf is the one who thought up this whole ghastly scheme," Klaus said. "What happened to Madame Lulu is his fault, not ours."
"We promised to take her with us," Violet insisted. "Madame Lulu kept her promise and didn't tell Count Olaf who we were. But we didn't keep ours."
"We tried," Klaus said. "We tried to keep ours."
"Trying's not good enough," Violet said. "Are we going to try to find one of our parents? Are we going to try to defeat Count Olaf?"
"Yes,"
Sunny said firmly, and wrapped her arms around Violet's leg. The eldest Baudelaire looked down at her sister, and her eyes filled with tears.
"Why are we here?"
she asked.
"We thought we could put on disguises and get ourselves out of trouble, but we're worse off than when we began. We don't know what VFD stands for, we don't know where the Snicket file is, and we don't know if one of our parents is really alive."
"There are some things we might not know," Klaus said, "but that doesn't mean we should give up. We can find out what we need to know, we can find out anything."
Violet smiled through her tears.
"You sound like a researcher," she said.
The middle Baudelaire reached into his pocket and pulled out his glasses.
"I am a researcher," he said,
and stepped toward the entrance to the tent.
"Let's get to work."